On behalf of the AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this is Adam Haverson, and I'm here to talk about cloud integration. So, real quick introduction. I work at a Fortune 500 company within IT. I'm a CPA and a CITP credential holder as well. And, you know, part of what I do day to day with my job is integrating on-premise to cloud and cloud to cloud information systems. So this is a really big deal. You know, if you go back 10 years ago, essentially this did not exist. But with the growth of cloud, and let's be more specific, software as a service or hosted, you know, software hosted by third parties and, you know, software hosted in Amazon or Microsoft or Google or Alibaba, there's a huge need to be able to connect systems that you don't directly control to systems that you do. Like maybe you want to take information that's in your ERP system and use it for marketing, or you want to use it to feed your benefits system, and you need to connect your, you know, your HR system to benefits and payroll. There are a limitless number of integration scenarios, and at this point, you know, this is absolutely 100% pervasive for large companies, but it's getting to the point where, you know, every medium-sized company and even some very small companies need to consider this as well. So the good news is that there are a lot of strong vendors in the space. You know, we're of course vendor neutral, but some of the leaders, you know, if you look at what the analysts say, are, you know, Dell Boomi, Informatica, MuleSoft, and many others. IBM has a product, SAP has a product. Essentially, though, if you go with one of the major players, they can connect to anything that exposes web services. They can reach in with credentials, pull data, perform, you know, joins on different types of data, and then, you know, connect to a target system, even in a stateful way, so that it's aware of, there's awareness of, you know, whether the push succeeded or failed, what dropped out, can connect it to error handling so that a human being or a process gets notified if things didn't work perfectly. And that can be addressed. You can imagine a scenario with like an HR system where, you know, maybe you tried to, you know, export 2,000 employees and, you know, 1,992 succeeded, but 8 failed. So a message can go out based on the way that the integration is set up that asks someone in HR systems to get involved and make sure that those are handled through an alternate channel. This, you know, cloud integration is a very quickly growing space, and you can imagine it. It's pretty much possible at this point. You know, imagine any system that needs to share data with any other system. A decade ago, even 5 or 6 years ago, you know, you were mainly trying to exchange information between on-premise systems that you hosted yourself. Or, you know, you were really doing like a straight file transfer. You'd be putting together a flat file, fixed field length file, and sending it to a vendor. And maybe if you were, you know, if you were pretty robust, you'd build in workflow notifications, high volume loads, real time loads, high stakes loads, where high availability is needed. The new way of using, you know, a SaaS solution or a combination of SaaS on-premise solutions to move data is much more robust in that it has very granular security. You can set it up so that, you know, maybe 50 people have access, but only to the little area where they need to. Developers can develop in a test system and then release to production. And, you know, you can integrate deeply into applications, even where you can perform validation logic. If you can imagine an integration that would add value to you, it is possible to architect it using close to off-the-shelf software at this point. And, you know, I would encourage you to kind of sit down and with your business users and think about where you can generate value. You know, some things that you could imagine are, you know, marketing integration, moving data from one system to another, getting disparate systems that can benefit from more updated information. You know, like maybe you have a system of record where changes are entered and you get out of sync because that data can age out. There's no integration or it's manual. You can configure integrations that way too, so that the target system is always getting Delta files, maybe every hour, or or you know, even in the case where there's a branded connector in the middleware, in the cloud integration platform, where it's that connector is application aware. It knows how to talk directly to the target system. Pretty much any ERP system would fall into that category. Oracle, SAP, NetSuite, they're the major platforms have connectors for all of those. So, you know, you can reach in and call through web services, you know, programs and functions within those ERP systems to perform validations, to get, pricing that's customer specific, to validate that someone's an employee, to validate a product configuration and provide that to another platform. So, you know, imagine that you had to do that with an e-commerce platform or, to validate that someone had access to make a certain type of entry or charge. If you go back in time, maybe to when you learned what was possible when the training wheels were on, you might think that that type of thing is very expensive and difficult to do, that it requires deep customization because it used to be that way. But now that is just how the world works. And any modern application typically exposes web services that can allow it to do this. Some, you know, even have point-to-point integrations where you don't need dedicated middleware like the programs that we discussed, like Boomi or Informatica or MuleSoft. And those point-to-point integrations have their pros and cons. In some other scenarios, if you work with a middleware, you know, the middleware knows how to connect to hundreds of systems, even integrate very sensitive data, HR data, you know, even like financial transactions. It's at the point where security, you know, basic security is enough of a solved problem that it's really becoming the norm that even sensitive data can be integrated this way. There are some regulatory regimes, though, you know, that have requirements that would preclude this, but they're more specific around, you know, export restrictions or data privacy, maybe in Germany, you know, things that you'd probably know about if they affect your business. But, you know, generally speaking, it's possible to, you know, if you set it up securely, which again has gotten fairly straightforward, you can move almost any kind of data from one of your systems to another, make the development of the integration very, very quickly. There are a lot of consultants who, you know, who are trained in these. And if you have someone who has, you know, ETL developer, extract, transform, load type developer experience, they can accommodate, you know, that skill set to these new systems fairly quickly. And really, you know, it's just wide open at this point. So from a business perspective, you may not have considered what some of the great value adds that you can do through this integration, because you're just used to thinking that, hey, if I touch that kind of customization, it's going to cost a massive amount of money. Some of these integrations, you know, they can be done in a couple of days by someone who's trained if they're working with applications that are standardly supported. You know, if you don't have a dedicated middleware and you're looking for one, you might want to do a little bit of research. You know, Forrester and Gartner have good research on, you know, leaders in the space. There's typically, you know, volume incentives that come. You know, if you're going to do a lot of integrations, they usually charge by the integration, although it does depend from company to company, and you have to buy that integration. The prices range, so maybe do your own research on this. But, you know, there are companies now who are doing, you know, integrations that require thousands of connectors, and, you know, other folks are just kind of getting started and really only use this type of middleware for like really high value solutions, and they only have, you know, a handful of them, you know, that they're doing, and, you know, have plans over the next couple of years to increase the deployment. One of the advantages that comes from doing it this way, you know, with cloud integration middleware, is that your developers can specialize on a single platform. So instead of having, you know, if you have 18 systems that have to interconnect, and, you know, if you did it all point to point, maybe there are going to be 27 integrations. You need people who are expert in all of those 18 systems to build files, basically, to send other systems. The file fails, you need to figure out how you're going to handle that. once you centralize it into your cloud integration middleware, you're doing most of your development work directly in the middleware, so your developers can specialize in that skill set and don't have to be as deep in the systems that they're working in because they can just work through standard exposed interfaces. And then you also have a lot more ability to do, you know, joins. You can take source information from two or three or five systems, join it together to create, you know, a target set of data that gets pushed into, you know, your target system, where there's any amount of internal validation that's already been applied. You can do your error handling at the middleware layer. The middleware can also provide, can also expose web services. You know, you can create an API in it so that, you know, it can provide services itself. That, you know, when a system reaches in with the correct credentials into that API, it actually causes the middleware to reach out and grab the information from inside your network, which can be very powerful as well. For example, you know, it can enable mobile applications. It can allow you to provide up to the minute data in a web store, or to you know, effectively syndicate data to, you know, to partners who sell your products or provide pricing on your product. All in all, you know, this space is called cloud integration or integration platform as a service. Usually the thing that distinguishes IPaaS, integration platform as a service, from you know, integration platforms in general, is that in the cloud integration or IPaaS space, usually one of the systems is not on-premise for you at, you know, at your data center or at your site. So, you know, if you're going from your site to your site, you wouldn't typically use these platforms, but when you're going, you know, from your site to the cloud or cloud to cloud, you typically would. And, you know, it's a fantastic, very rapidly growing space. The, you know, all the big companies that are involved have sales revenue that's going up quickly. They're signing on more customers, and they have more case studies available. They're adding connectors and branded connectors. Some of them even have community-sourced connectors where, you know, they might not have an official connector for a product involved, you know, advertised, but once a few of their customers have done an integration with that product, it becomes available, you know, to other customers so that they don't have to rework the development effort again. So cloud integration, it's a fantastic topic, and you know, at the end of the day, it saves money if you have to do a complicated integration, and it enables many business cases that can increase revenue or, you know, result in your partners having much more current data. It can also remove various sources of risk, and you know, in general, it's a fairly secure platform. It implements basically all kinds of, you know, all commonly used, you know, modern security measures for encrypting data connections. So I encourage you to learn more about it. On behalf of the AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this has been Adam Haverson, and I just presented on cloud integration. To access more information and resources on cloud integration and related information technology and technology assurance, please visit the AICPA at aicpa.org/IMTA/resources. I also highly encourage IMTA section members and CIP credential holders to review your biweekly electronic IMTA news to keep up with the latest resources, advocacy, and events. Visit aicpa.org/IMTA/news for the latest edition.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.